Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sherrod Cutton. With me, Brian Fernandez, and on the line, Ben LeBron, market analyst with Options Express in Sydney.
Ben, Aussie banks were up yesterday very sharply after the Reserve Bank of Australia's new capital rules were a lot less stringent than expected. Is that an indication that the RBA is not overly concerned about the mortgage risk associated with the hot housing market?
Good morning. Excuse me. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. The banks were very, very strong yesterday, but we need to keep it in context. The day before, so Tuesday's trading session here domestically, was a horror session for the banks on fears that the regulator was going to hand down something far less severe than what was. And, of course, you know, the key words here are unquestionably strong. That's how we want our banks perceived and judged, you know, in terms of the metrics as well. So, yeah, a horror session Tuesday, a good rebound yesterday, and perhaps some follow-through buying to come today. I mean, you're right to flag the housing market. That is still a concern and still a reason why some of the international short sellers target some of our banks, thinking that at some stage we're going to see a meltdown or the property market at least come off the boil and maybe even some sort of bubble burst. You know, that's a lot of the key or the buzzwords that some of the more negative investors view our banks and think about our banks. So, yeah, it was a great day, a terrific day, up by more than 2%. But as I said, you know, just a nice rebound from the day before.
China is set to import a record amount of iron ore this year. Does that rally in iron ore prices have any more legs for Australia?
It possibly does. It's so hard to predict the price of iron ore. I mean, I keep coming back to the tighter monetary conditions in China, and you know, a lot of the speculators use tighter conditions to short sell markets like copper and iron ore. So, obviously, some of the data out of China earlier in the week did impress. So that augurs well for iron ore demand. However, you know, growth still expected to sort of temper over the foreseeable future. So maybe not as much of the development projects, which have really underpinned support for bulk commodities, it is going to be as active moving forward. So there's a lot of push-pull factors at play when it comes to iron ore. But on the balance, I'd still expect sort of supply to outweigh demand. And that story will continue over the foreseeable future, over the next couple of years at least. But, you know, interesting in China, those imports, I mean, you know, there's absolutely no reason as it stands right now to be overly concerned. I'm sort of looking down the path a little bit further.
Now, looking at the Aussie jobs data that's just been released, what are your views on the strength of the Aussie economy given the data?
Actually, that jobs data is to come in about 2 hours. So, look, the jobs numbers have really impressed here in Australia. I think it's expected to temper a little bit today, just purely because we've seen so much strength recently. And that gives us confidence that the economy's ticking along okay. Obviously, we look at employment, we look at inflation. They're the metrics, the key metrics that the RBA, the Reserve Bank, will be judging interest rates by going into the future. So, yeah, an interesting day coming up, and obviously that hot Australian dollar will certainly be in focus as well.
Speaking of the hot Australian dollar, that's gone up, I think, about 6.5% against the basket of currencies since June. Is that going to hurt exports moving forward?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yes, I mean, short answer to that question. But, you know, there's not a lot they can do about it. I mean, a lot of that story is a weak US dollar. I mean, it takes two to tango, of course, when it comes to currency pairs. But the Aussie is starting to price in the potential for rate hikes moving forward. Now, I don't know when those rate hikes are actually going to happen. The market's starting to suspect sometime in 2018. But I think the easing cycle is definitely over. And it was a lot more hawkish, the minutes that they released earlier in the week, than the market might have been had anticipated. And a lot of that was to do with talking about where normalisation actually stood in terms of interest rates, and they talked about the inflation rate and needing interest rates around 3.5%. So that's about 8 hikes between now and normalisation. So that's where the Aussies got a little bit excited and back above 80 US cents.
Now, what are your views on the strength of emerging market stocks? Are Australian institutions buying into this rally?
I'm sure. You know, when a lot of hot money sort of hits those emerging markets, doesn't it? Especially, you know, it's such a play on currencies. And obviously the US dollar is just loveless, lifeless, friendless at the moment. So that's where emerging markets have roared back to life. And, of course, you know, some global growth expected as well. So, you know, that hot money can leave as quickly as it arrives. So, you know, buyer beware. But I'm sure, I have no doubt, some of our institutions are chasing up some of these prices in emerging markets. That's for sure.
Thanks, Ben. That was Ben LeBrun, market analyst, Options Express, Sydney.
Chuan, what do you make of that discussion that Brian just had with Ben LeBrun about the Australian markets?
Well, you know, obviously it's all about globalization, right, and its approach to the rest of ASEAN. I found it quite interesting that he had no doubt whatsoever, without citing details, that Australian institutions are buying to the emerging market rally, because emerging markets, by its very nature, they need not be ASEAN in focus. It could be Brazil, Russia, India, China, not necessarily, you know, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Jakarta. So it's interesting because you've also pointed out the fact that the Aussie dollar has gone up quite a lot against the US dollar the last few weeks. It's around about 79 cents to the US dollar, maybe even approaching 80 cents to the US dollar, coming up from about 72, 73 cents. So it's very interesting.
But Chuang, one of the things with the, and how I always see the relevance of the Australian economy to the Malaysian economy is really the fact that a lot of upper middle class and upper class Malaysians have either investments in Australia, they have family in Australia, and also, of course, education and education of kids in Australia, tourism. So the Aussie dollar really has a lot of impact to us.
And in fact, it's not just the middle classes and middle class aspirations and people within the kind of 1% of Malaysia. It's also the working class, because we had those stories over the last year of Malaysians, working class Malaysians going to Australia to work on fruit farms, work in construction, overstaying. Sometimes, you know, in fact, we did this story on Pressing Matters some months ago now with Kian Wong, who's a Malaysian journalist based there in Australia, that Malaysians are putting themselves into the process of seeking asylum in order to win themselves a window, perhaps about 2 years while that process is ongoing, to actually work, because the wages in the construction industry are so high. So all levels of Malaysians are, and all manner of Malaysians are going to Australia.
But Sharad, wouldn't they be put in a detention centre?
No, they don't. They don't get, while you've asked to be part of the asylum process, you don't get put in detention.
Oh, can I just say, okay, where I'm concerned is one number, 3.41 actually is the ringgit to the Aussie at this point in time. Last year, August, it was just about 3.02. So it's gone up so much, right? So much. So if you've got kids in Australia, if you've got properties in Australia, if you're paying tax in Australia, if you're paying building management fees in Australia because you've got property there, you know, I mean, if you're buying a property in Australia, there's a lot of layers that you don't really find out until you've actually bought it. So it's becoming more expensive, but it is still a first world country. It is still an alternative to Singapore for many Malaysians. And it is, you know, obviously still the land of milk and honey for a lot of people.
And kangaroos.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.